Hello everyone and thank you for tuning in. I'm your host UK and this is the e-learning champion pod. This is your home for everything e-learning. Every week we have guests and experts who will be joining us to talk on topics that matter to you, that will help you to grow and scale. E-learning is something that has now become a crucial part of every organization, and hence we like to focus on giving you the ins and outs of the same. And that is why this is your home for everything e-learning. And on today's episode, we'll be talking about business goals and learnings. As I said, e-learning is something that is involved in every domain and every business. So in today's episode, we'll dive into the critical role of learning in achieving business goals and how you can harness the power of education and development to drive your organization forward. To share knowledge and insights on this, we have a very versatile and a very experienced professional joining us. And yes, that is none other than Shalini Narupu. Hello and welcome, Shalini. It's
Hi,
good to have you here.
Thank you so much.
Great.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Likewise, we are honored to have you. And as I said, today we'll be discussing on the topic business goals and learnings. So, Let's just start with the basic questions. Let's address the fundamental question. Why is learning important for achieving business goals according to you?
Yeah, I think that is the key question to really ask. And the answer is very simple, but profound. In our fast-paced and rapidly changing world, businesses must continuously adapt, you know, to remain competitive, relevant, to thrive. And this adaptation is only possible through ongoing learning and development. In fact, over the last two decades, the training domain has undergone a significant change precisely because of all the changes that are impacting the business world. The advancements in technology, the shifts in the job market, evolving workplace needs. All of these, you can see them reflected in the changing priorities and initiatives that are being undertaken by L&D functions across organizations globally. And of course, another side, on a side note, another important aspect is to do with attracting talent. You know, while learning is important for achieving business goals, it's also very important for us to have, for our organizations to be learning organizations to attract the right kind of talent. And in fact, most prospective candidates who approach our organizations for opportunities to work have one main thing on their mind. Does our organization support learning? Does it provide opportunities for growth and development? And organizations that do manage to woo the best talent clearly have, you know, an edge, because you have people who are joining you already motivated to learn and make a difference, which in turn ladders up, you know, to the success of the entire organization.
Yes, I could not agree more to that. So how do you think can businesses effectively align their learning initiatives with the strategic goals?
Yeah, Abid, that's in fact the top question in the spotlight today. In many industry surveys, you know, in 2023, it was found that mapping learning to business goals was the number one priority for L&D professionals. But before looking at how we can do that, I would just want to share a few interesting statistics.
Sure, sure.
So, you know, while most business leaders agree that L&D must align with the company's overall priorities, surveys and research has shown that only 40% of companies say that their learning strategies align with business goals. So that leaves a huge 60% who confess that, you know, the learning that they are rolling out has no overt, tangible connection to the company's strategic objectives. Now, there could be many reasons for doing this, because it's not that people set out to say that, okay, I'm starting this, you know, but I'm not aligned. It's just that sometimes the L&D function is, you know, out of sync with the business, probably because we are still following an outdated approach, or also because, you know, sometimes budgets are based on the previous year's priorities rather than today's compelling business requirements. So it is very important to first ask ourselves, how aligned are we? you know, before we address the question of how do we align ourselves, a good health check is something that is required. How aligned are we? Are we in this 40% of organizations that say that their learning strategy is aligned with business goals, or are we in the 60% who probably, you know, are not that aligned?
Right.
Now, to be viewed as a valued partner to the business, we all have to be working on things that matter to the business, things that, are very clearly linked to helping our organizations make progress on our business strategy, our business results. So how do we do that? I think that's the question you asked. How can businesses Yes. effectively align their learning initiatives with their strategic goals?
Right.
You know, as with anything else, it's important to start right at the very beginning. The first step is to define those strategic goals very clearly. Now, this means we step back and try to understand our organization's mission, vision, what are our long-term objectives. It's only once these are very clearly established can we identify what are the skills, what is the knowledge that is needed by our workforce to achieve our business's mission, vision, you know, and long-term objectives. So the first thing I would say is find out what is the corporate strategy. In principle, I know this sounds too simplistic, but it's amazing, you know, like I shared the statistics. Clearly, a lot of organizations are missing the mark because this preliminary question was not asked clearly enough, or if it was asked, the answers were not defined clearly enough. So basically, you know, it's impossible to connect to something that you don't have any clue about. So if you're not very clear about what is the corporate strategy, what is the intended business outcome, what are the desired business results that your company is aiming for, then you can't target it. So a lot of executives understand that, you know, if you want to accomplish your company's strategy, you have to know what it is and also be known by those who are working on that strategy. So how do you find out what your business outcomes or strategies are?
Right.
Well, again, you know, it's very simple. We've got to keep asking. We've got to keep looking, because it's not that, you know, every business takes the time to sit back and educate everybody all the time on what is their business mission, what is their desired outcome for that year. Yes, we do it, you know, probably in our annual meets, but sometimes even these are changing, you know, because of the nature of the landscape we are in. Strategies change, goals change. So it's very important for us to be in sync, not just with what was defined maybe at the beginning of the year, as most organizations do, but take regular checks to make sure that we are still aligned, you know, that nothing has changed and that we are still on the right track. So how do we find out what our business strategy is? Well, like I said, not many organizations would probably make, you know, have the time to regularly update everyone on it. But how do we as L&D professionals make sure we're in sync? A simple question. How many of us really, as L&D professionals, how many of us really explore our company's annual reporting, you know, our investors' documents?
Yeah.
How much do we deeply read our websites? You know, how in sync are we with even something as simple as our employee count, or you know, simple things like that, which
small
give you
little things, yes.
Yes, yes. And how often, if we are not clear enough about what is the strategy, what is the mission, what are the outcomes for that defined year, how often do we set up a meeting with you know, leadership or with executive management to ask these important questions? So one important thing is that just because your company may not be communicating doesn't mean that, you know, it's some top secret thing which you know, information which only a few people
right.
have, you know, are privy to.
Right.
So don't, it's very important that we find out what it is. And maybe sometimes, you know, people are just very busy. and they are totally neck deep in work, and they just forget how important it is to communicate this strategy. Now, the point is, if we want to really be partners, valued partners to the business, it is our responsibility to find out what is the strategy and not wait for it to miraculously find its way to you. So, you know, before designing or delivering a solution, I think the key thing is to step back and make sure that whatever we are mapping, the learning that we propose, we are proposing is mapped to the outcomes that the business is expecting, to the business objectives, and to the overall corporate strategy. So success is not about just saying that, you know, hey, our training was on scale, on budget, and it's not just enough. Because what if you are on scale, you're on budget, but you're working on the wrong thing, you know? So that is a risk we simply cannot afford to take.
So
I'd like to share a few questions, sample discovery questions, you know, that we need to ask ourselves before we jump into, you know, strategizing our L&D initiatives. So some questions are, what are your desired organizational results? You know, how will whatever you're proposing help your organization? How will it contribute to helping your organization progress? And how do we measure, how do we know if the organization is winning? So that's where the key performance indicators or metrics become extremely relevant. And what impact are we hoping to achieve through whatever we are going to undertake? And, you know, we need to have a very clear idea of what does success look like? Our solution will be successful if, and, you know, we really need to fill in the blanks and make sure we're all in sync. So that's the first part, you know, focusing on the desired organizational results. And then we come to the desired performance. You know, what for our organization to achieve whatever it has set out to achieve, what performance from its employees will help it do so? So as L&D, we need to take a very hard look at our workforce capabilities and prioritize on what are the most essential, you know, the key essential ones to support the execution. Because, you know, there are so many conflicting priorities, and sometimes it's very tempting to just dive in and start addressing them without stepping back and really prioritizing. What are the core non-negotiable ones which will help my organization meet its business results? Now, when we look at performance, there are some things we need to, some questions we need to ask. I'll share a few sample questions. Like, what do people have to do? You know, what does your workforce have to do to achieve the business, the organizational results? And what is it that you want people to be doing more effectively, more efficiently? And do you have a very clear idea of what a top performer does? Closely aligned to it is the question, how do you describe proficiency? And equally important, what would you like to see people doing more or less? Because, you know, sometimes through sheer force of habit, we continue doing certain things because we've been doing them well in the past. But they may not be, you know, aligned for this, for our organization's current priorities. So, you know, what is it that we need to be stop doing or do less of? And of course, the key question at the end of all this is, what performance needs to be improved? What and can it be improved through L&D? Because, you know, as you know, not every performance issue can be has a clear-cut L&D solution. Sometimes there are extrinsic factors which are outside the purview of L&D. But the ones that are within our control, we need to be very sure of on, you know, what can we do. Which brings me to the third part, which is, you know, now once we have a clear idea of the desired performance, then we drill down and get into the performance-based objectives. So unless our organizational results, our desired performance, and our objectives are all aligned with each other, it's just a waste of training budgets down the drain. So I'd like to share a couple of questions we can ask when we are looking at this important aspect of performance-based objectives. What specific tasks should be the focus for each defined job role. You know, what is a critical task to improve proficiency, and what should we address first? Prioritization. And what is the fundamental knowledge that would enable our people to improve their performance? And another related aspect is, how frequently are these core tasks performed? How important are they relative to, you know, all the other tasks? And how hard is it to learn them? How much risk is there in not performing those tasks well? Now, these are questions which, you know, which help us identify what should be the areas of our focus. So it is important, of course, everybody acknowledges that all our performance improvement solutions need to make an impact on business results, because, you know, the very nature of employment is about people, you know, working in a very results oriented system. And what we are doing as L&D is trying to improve performance, because it's all about helping people excel in their work, which in turn, you know, produces results for the company.
Right.
So, and also, you know, in recent years, the role of L&D has shifted perceptibly, and we are now seen as a very valued partner. And the expectations are higher than they ever were in the past. And there is a demand for us as a function to add value. Our stakeholders continuously ask us, what have you done lately that has helped us progress? And of course, you know, with the expectations also comes the pressure of the finance, the financial, you know, angle. There is constant pressure on our budgets. There is constant, there is a lot of conversation happening around funding, whether it's I'm not talking just in terms of actual money, in terms of people, time.
Yeah.
And one of the things I think we all would like to do is avoid getting onto the endangered species list. Because, you know, there was a time in the past when we just did our work. It was important. Uh-huh. It did produce results. It's not that, you know, we've all been just shooting in the dark. But we need to be very more deliberate and more intentional about it. And the other part, you know, of why business impact is so important, because, you know, we all know that, you know, whenever there is any pressure of any financial kind, the first place where budget cuts happen is in the training and learning space. Yeah.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah. So the more we are able to align ourselves with the business, the more we are able to serve our business, our leadership, our stakeholders in a very consultative capacity, so that we drive the outcome, we drive the success of the business. And then, you know, the safer we are in terms of being a value-added partner. And this is one framework that we constantly need to keep at the back of our minds. Mm-hmm. And another thing I want to just mention, of course, I touched on it earlier, but now this alignment of, you know, the business results, the desired organizational results, the desired performance, and what we come up with in terms of performance-based objectives, this is something that we need to re-evaluate constantly on a maybe on a yearly basis to ensure that, you know, we are truly reflecting our organization's priorities and our organization's strategic objectives. So I think that's key.
Right. This is really interesting. I mean, especially from the stats and the last part that we discussed about, where majority of corporates are out there and still left in the loom and not focusing more on the training and learning and development departments in the companies. So which makes me wonder the importance of having a learning culture within a specific organization. What do you think about it?
Right. And really, you know, that's, again, the core requirement for us to have people who are motivated and engaged in their learning. And that doesn't happen in a vacuum. It is, you know, no matter how motivated an employee is to better their performance, to make use of all the L&D opportunities that come their way, if the culture as such doesn't support it, then again, you know, it's very difficult for even motivated people to maintain that momentum. So a learning culture, it really is about building about enabling an environment, about nurturing, let's say, an environment where employees are encouraged to learn, to innovate, to take risks. And it's really about valuing and totally investing in the growth and development of our team members. Because at the end of the day, a well-trained team is the one that's going to help you achieve those business outcomes. And as I mentioned earlier, one important thing that has emerged in recent years is that L&D cannot work in a silo, because we now have a place at the executive decision-making table. And another aspect I want to touch on here is, you know, in the context of a learning culture is, just as L&D, you know, needs to be aligned with the business, we mm-hmm. also need to be an integral part of our HR, you know, because okay. we are now playing an increasingly important role in HR, you know, right from recruitment, onboarding, performance management, down to succession planning. And the surprising thing is, or maybe not the not so surprising thing is, that research has shown that, you know, at best, many L&D functions are very loosely connected to the HR. Data that comes away, you know, even in terms of performance review data that comes. And sometimes mm-hmm. There could be a lot of improvement done in adopting a very structured approach and follow up to these performance management, talent management practices. So I would say, you know, there is one question we need to focus on. How can L&D partner with HR and talent management to create this culture of learning? So one thing, right. as I mentioned earlier, is we clearly align our objectives with business goals. L&D leaders should be working closely with HR and talent management to identify the key business objectives and align our learning objectives with them. So this makes sure that learning programs are focused on delivering these measurable results. Again, it can't be something very intangible. It has to be something very measurable, because unless we measure it, we won't know if we have improved. You know, if there is, Absolutely. There has been an improvement. And another critical part of, you know, this culture of learning is to promote a growth mindset. So we need to really actively, deliberately, consciously promote this learning mindset, this growth mindset within the organization, and embrace a continuous learning kind of a paradigm, you know, a continuous learning and development framework. And for this, you know, we need to be providing learning opportunities which are not just one-off events, but work very closely with HR and talent management to provide them, our workforce, with a variety of learning opportunities, not just the ones that we have traditionally done in the past, you know, it's like classroom training or e-learning, but go much beyond and really focus on tying it all together through on-the-job training, coaching, mentoring programs, and helping our employees have access to the learning that they need at their point of need. And one way of really creating and encouraging a learning culture is to reward and recognize employees who embrace this mindset of continuous learning and development, and also reward them for contributions in terms of, you know, being willing to take risks based on what they're learning, trying something new, experimenting, and so on. And
that's actually a good
way. Because, you know, a lot of times it's not that people lack the motivation, but people are so terrified mm-hmm. of the consequences, of the repercussions, that sometimes the space to experiment, which is very crucial for innovation, which is very crucial for learning, becomes very narrow. So
that's true, yeah.
That is something I think we've been seeing, you know, in our own engagement with our customers, you know, how there is an increased emphasis on creating that space for employees to mm-hmm. embrace learning. You know, failure is no longer such a taboo word. Fail fast, learn fast, grow fast. So that creates a culture that values innovation and experimentation and so on. And
that's good.
Yeah. Another thing is, you know, to do with the impact of learning, the measurement part, uh-huh. which I will come to slightly later.
Okay.
While we all acknowledge, you know, that the biggest competitive advantage of any organization is its people and their skills, their knowledge, and their expertise is critical for that organization to have a, you know, to maintain an edge over the competitors, we really need to ask ourselves, how much are we as an L&D function driving this? How are we making sure that we are enhancing this advantage? How much are we supporting ongoing skill development and acquisition of knowledge? How much are we giving access? How much are we giving opportunities for our employees to stay in touch with the latest trends and best practices in their field? So these are things that I think we need to really constantly ask ourselves. And one advantage of all this is, you know, when we do all of this, we also improve our brand reputation. Because when we are known as somebody, an organization that is totally committed to employee development and in fostering and building a learning culture, then, you know, attrition no longer becomes a huge area of concern. Yeah. We attract, we retain top talent and make sure that our organization has a great leading role in the marketplace.
That's true. That's true.
I want to Sorry, but please go ahead.
No, it's fine. You can just continue. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah. So a few things that I'd like to share, you know, when it comes to creating a learning culture, I think I already mentioned the growth mindset. In recent surveys, you know, LinkedIn learning reports and so on, when organizations were polled on what is the one of the most valued skill sets you're looking for in your employees, learning agility was at the among the top in the list. It's because it's one of the key skills which will help us succeed. And learning agility is not something, you know, that you can just roll out as a theoretical program and then expect everybody to just start implementing. So this is something that now the L&D function in most organizations is very deliberately promoting by sprinkling this kind of skill set throughout the learning initiatives. So even if they are technical learnings, if they are very, you know, very targeted, specific learning programs, there is still this aspect which is being sprinkled throughout the encouragement and the opportunities to learn, to be agile, to learn from each other. And one thing is that, you know, it's, as I mentioned earlier, it's not enough just to let people know that, you know, we value learning. It's important for managers, for leadership, for change leaders to lead by example and through role modeling. Because unless we as L&D, as an L&D function are committed to our own continuous learning and development, you know, it's very important. It's very difficult to motivate others to do the same. So we need to also be in touch with the latest trends and best practices in our field. We need to help our teams prioritize work schedules so that they make time for their learning.
Absolutely.
And one of the related aspects is to have, you know, frequent touch points with our teams to share learning, to listen to challenges, to collectively arrive at solutions and be very hands-on in addressing learning challenges. And this is one place where, you know, we can also leverage the communities of practice within our organizations and leverage communication channels more effectively. So all of these together help us create a culture of learning, which really, you know, is the glue for this entire learning ecosystem. You know, when we talk of setting up a learning ecosystem, it's the learning culture which we really need to be addressing. Because a lot of times when we think of ecosystems, we start thinking technology, we start thinking infrastructure. Yes, those are key elements. But it's the softer aspect of fostering and nurturing a learning culture that really makes a difference between, you know, an organization moving ahead and achieving its business outcomes as opposed to those who are still lagging behind.
That's true, yeah. I think we just also got a proper strategic pathway, as you showed, about how to integrate learning with business goals, which is absolutely amazing and really practical as well. So I now like to focus on How can we utilize the power of technology in learning and development? Because in this generation that we're living in, it's all just about technology. And when you've also told about that learning and development is so important in within an organization, how can we leverage the power of the technology for learning and development?
Right. Yeah, I think, technology truly has been a game changer. And with the rise of e-learning platforms and innovative tools, you know, it's easier than ever to provide very flexible and scalable learning solutions, which can be tailored to our employees' needs and making sure that learning is more accessible and more efficient. And as I mentioned earlier, over the last two decades, the training domain per se has undergone significant changes because of these advancements in technology. And some impacts are that, you know, there is increased use of e-learning. The popularity of e-learning has grown exponentially, more so, you know, after COVID, and it's continuing.
Oh, yes.
And that has really changed the face of, you know, learning forever. And online training has become a very convenient and cost-effective way for individuals and organizations to learn and to upskill. And there is an emphasis on personalized learning, which technology makes possible. You know, with the rise of artificial intelligence, personalized learning has become more accessible. Now, training programs can be tailored to meet the specific needs and needs of individuals. And there are curated learning paths that L&D functions are now focusing on, and these curated learning paths could also include external resources that are increasingly being integrated into learning journeys. And another thing is, you know, given that there is so much pressure and, you know, everybody is strapped for time, there is a very tangible shift towards micro learning. So short, bite-sized learning modules have become very popular because, they allow us to, equip ourselves in the flow of work.
Okay.
And also, you know, leading to better retention of information. And there are all kinds of now strategies. And of course, social learning is another aspect. And thanks to technology, social and collaborative learning is no longer dependent on just meeting people in a physical classroom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are platforms, there are group boards, there are all kinds of formats which are now increasingly available for us to collaboratively learn, for us to learn from our peers and from experts. So these are some things. So basically, there is more emphasis on the 70-20-10. You know, as you know, earlier, 70% of learning took place on the job, 20% through social learning, through, you know, interaction, collaboration,
right,
and 10% through formal learning. Now, there is this increased thrust on trying to make sure that there is more focus on social learning because technology is easily enabling it. And and also there has been an increase. This 10% of formal training has now doubled in recent times. It's become 20% because for the simple reason that, you know, rolling out learning is no longer a logistical nightmare that it used to be when we had more emphasis only on in-person events. Because with digital learning, digital curricula, you know, it's really changed the entire game. Of course, these percentages is 70, 20, 10, or what is now being seen as 55, the new model. It varies by industry and organization.
Okay.
But it is a fact that, you know, L&D functions are being very deliberate about how we can use technology to enhance all aspects, not just the formal training, but also enhance the other aspects.
Okay. That's great. Now that we have covered the importance of having, and then the practical strategies of having the learning initiatives in our business goals, one thing that I've read this online was, you know, we always also need to measure the efforts that we are putting in. So, how do you think that the measuring the impact of learning initiatives on our business goals? What do you think about that?
Right. So, this has become really, it's taken center stage in recent years. It's not that we were not doing it, but a lot of times, you know, we were happy with just what we call the happy sheets, you know, those satisfaction scores at the end of learning.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing is, with those, it's impossible to demonstrate the effectiveness of what we are doing. You know, because at the end of the day, unless our learning initiatives are helping our business achieve its goals, it's just, you know, nobody's the wiser on whether whatever we did created impact or not. Yeah. So it's very very essential to have clear KPIs to track the effectiveness. And these KPIs could range, you know, it depends on what your business is looking for. Improve productivity, increase customer satisfaction, maybe revenue growth. Now, the thing is, once we have this basic fundamental piece in place, then we can make sure the basic fundamental piece of aligning all these goals, performance, and our objectives, then we can make sure that what we are doing can will have an impact on improving the KPIs. Because once we have metrics that can be measured, it's easy to connect everything together. And then we also can, you know, start looking at tangible, visible data, which in turn demonstrates the value of what we are doing and also helps, you know, even something as simple as securing, okay, maybe not so simple, but in something as integral as securing funding for the next phase of learning. So some ways, you know, we can ensure that this we do what we're doing has impact is, of course, you know, we look at how closely aligned are our L&D initiatives to the business goals. That is the starting point. And then we, of course, look at learning excellence, you know, whether our learning interventions have helped our people change their performance. And the last part is, of course, you know, the KPIs to do on has it been worth it investing this? What is the operational excellence that we're looking at? And yes, as I mentioned earlier, accurate measurement is not always simple, but unless we make a start in a very deliberate, intentional way, we will still be just probably, you know, missing the mark somewhere along the way. So high performance, any high performing organization really focuses on outcome based metrics, you know, an impact on employee performance, employee engagement. Are learning interventions helping in creating high performing teams? Are there business process improvements that are taking place in our organization, you know, clearly being rolled out to everyone? It's not just enough to have improvements. It's important that everybody knows what these are. They're able to apply them on the job. So yes, it does require a bit of, you know, a lot, I would say, of effort and very deliberate, careful measuring of these indicators. And it helps to start with what are these KPIs in the first place. Because, you know, sometimes we just go along, we define our programs, we do make sure they're aligned. But how do we make sure they're aligned without KPIs? It's these KPIs which will tell you whether how healthy your training has been, how effective your training has been. So sometimes we need to just flip it all back and, you know, really step back and ask these difficult questions. These are sometimes time consuming at the very beginning, especially when we are raring to go and just, you know, hit the ground running.
Oh, yeah.
But these are the things which will keep us anchored and grounded on the right direction.
That's probably the best way to put it into one sentence. Yeah, that's great. Thanks a lot, Shalini, for sharing with us all of your experience and learnings. It's been really informative. And we're glad to have you here on our podcast. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. And I'm looking forward to joining you for the next upcoming podcast as well.
Absolutely. Sure. We'll be honored to have you back again. Thank you. And as we near the end of this episode, I want to leave everyone in the audience with a few key takeaways, because there was so much going on in the episode, so much information. Learning and development aren't just about personal growth. They're integral to the success of your business. And to achieve your business goals, you need to invest in your employees' knowledge and skills, foster a culture of learning, leverage technology, and also measure your progress. Thank you for joining me on this journey into the world of business goals and learnings. If you found this episode valuable, please share it with your colleagues and friends. And remember, in today's dynamic business environment, the only constant is change. And the best way to navigate it is through continuous learning. That's all for today. I'm your host, UK, and this is the eLearning Champion Pod. Until next time, keep learning, keep growing, and keep achieving those business goals.